Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world, let's get ready to suck it!
And how is everybody doing this evening? Off the Ropes with Jason and Chris, the best damn sports, well, not really sports, sports entertainment per se, talk show on the internet here. Jason is calling in live tonight from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. He lives near the Barclays Center. He's calling in live from Philadelphia, which is where Raw is tonight. I almost got that messed up. Jason, I just assume you're in the Barclays whenever you're calling from somewhere because you could damn near walk there. You're in Philly. You're in Philly tonight here. And for those of you who may not be used to the show setup and what we do, we're taking you through the end of Raw. Show starts at 10 p.m. Eastern time. We take you through 11 o'clock hour, even a little bit beyond that, 11:30, depending. And so far, Raw's been pretty good. You had mentioned earlier on in the show they did some things that were sort of keeping the crowd interested. The Roman thing with Stephanie coming out earlier. I think you phrased it as what, blowing their load early on here in the show. So what do they got left on tap? I mean, you're live there with the atmosphere. What's going on left?
Yeah, I really think they blew the load early with the show. I mean, we had one of the best matches, arguably, for the whole, so far for the calendar year for 2016, with Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. They had a great match. Clearly, they're leading up to something bigger with him with Chris Jericho.
There's gotta be, yeah.
And the only other thing I would say with Roman is, like I was telling you in the production meeting, I don't like the way that they're separating Roman and Triple H. Like, we're barely seeing them at the same place at the same time. I guess the two times we've seen them in the last month and a half was each of them beating the living hell out of each other. But I guess they're going to pretty much stack it all up for the go-home show next week, which I will be at again. So I'm doing Raw back-to-back like a Drake mixtape.
Back-to-back. Terrible song, by the way. We're going to run through. We do have some topics. We take you through the end of Raw. Right now, it's personally a match that I'm not as invested in. I don't know what the crowd sounds like there in Philadelphia, but obviously you got Stardust. I believe that Zack Ryder. Haven't seen him in a hot minute. Sin Cara's out there. So it's one of those in-between matches. They still got an hour left. They have to fill some time. So what we're going to do is talk a little bit about some of our favorites, and that's Paul Heyman moments. We all talk about how, you know, we love Paul Heyman. We love how he, you know, we'd want him in the locker room if we're on a team because he can just pump guys up like you would not believe. So Paul Heyman put together, I got a special clip here. Paul Heyman put together his top five moments on the WWE Network. So take a listen and see if you agree with these moments.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, and I would like to compliment you on your good taste to click on just to find out what my top five playlist here on the WWE Network would be. Item number one, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. For if you don't watch my history, why would you be watching me and taking my advice right now? Item number two, WrestleMania 30, the night my client, Brock Lesnar, conquered The Undertaker's undefeated streak at that WrestleMania. item number 3, the Monday Night Raw directly following WrestleMania 30, because let's face it, it's not just the fact that my client Brock Lesnar took the streak away from The Undertaker. It was up to me to rub salt in that wound.
We hate to say we told you so, but ladies and gentlemen, we told you so!
Item number 4, the day after SummerSlam 2014, where my client, Brock Lesnar, took John Cena's WWE World Heavyweight Championship, in which I coined the phrase, eat, sleep, suplex, repeat. Suplex, repeat, suplex, repeat, suplex, repeat, suplex, repeat. I would actually advise you to watch SummerSlam, but Brock smacking around John Cena has become so commonplace, it's better that you just hear me describe it. And finally, item number 5, ECW One Night Stand 2005, the one night revival of the lewdest, crudest, rudest, most extreme, most severe, most hardcore promotion ever to grace this planet. Run, of course, by me, Paul Heyman, the advocate for the beast, the conqueror Brock Lesnar, and your own personal rabbi, instructing you on what to watch here on the WWE Network. And by the way, I did this in one take.
Thank you, Paul Heyman, putting that little clip together of his favorite moments of himself in the WWE. You can go on WWE Network. It's only $9.99 a month. You get one free month if it's new for you. And you can go and check out all the great Paul Heyman moments, all the great moments throughout the WWE and WCW and ECW. They got everything up on there. It's a one-stop shop for everything you need wrestling-wise. But Jason, you've been watching this for a little while. You're a little bit older than me. You've been watching wrestling for a little bit longer. Not much, but a little bit. What would you say would be your top 5 moments for Paul Heyman? I mean, a lot of people are loving what he's doing with Brock Lesnar these past couple of years, but he's got a lot of history before that.
I'm impressed with Paul Heyman's list. Like, I think 4 of those are probably in my top 5. The night that ECW came back, that was definitely my number 1 because that was just unexpected. It was needed. And I would say the other 4, a lot of them would have to go back to his ECW, WCW work, Dangerous Paulie. That was he was a great manager back then with the Hollywood Blondes. I don't think people remember that.
A lot of people probably don't.
I'd also want to give a shout-out to Stone Cold Steve Austin, because when he was in WCW as a Hollywood Blonde, he did some amazing match in-ring work that goes very unnoticed. If you have the WWE Network, definitely check out some of the old WCW clips. But that'll be my number 4. His work with the Hollywood Blondes, with him and Brian Pillman. Rest in peace, Brian Pillman. Number 3, I'm going to go with his work with CM Punk. When CM Punk was a heel, it was definitely something different, something pre-attitude, where Punk wasn't afraid to push the envelope and Paul Heyman was right there being the battery in his back. I definitely like that run as well. Number 4.
Sort of like what he's doing with Brock, it's a little bit, except CM Punk obviously wasn't as intimidating of a factor. It was a little bit more, they both were trash talkers in that sense. But yeah, I like what he's doing with Punk.
So they kind of play well off each other, where both of them be able to carry a conversation, unlike, you know, Brock, who just eat, sleep, conquer, and repeat.
Yeah, or whatever. You can put anything in between the repeat, but yeah.
For 5, I'm pretty sure you'll like this, but the ECW WWE Invasion, when they had the 3 factions.
Uh-huh.
And when pretty much
it's funny you mention that. It's funny you mention that because a lot of people talk about Paul Heyman, but they don't really talk about Paul Heyman as a commentator. Okay, they don't really talk about Paul Heyman, and I was able to find a Paul Heyman commentator clip. I believe this is it.
Like Brock Lesnar.
Nope. It's this one here. This is Paul Heyman.
And we're now live, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt Angle being examined
much like Billy Gunn and The Undertaker earlier. Not a big, not a great night for the WWF here on that situation. Kurt being looked at, his neck, he had a broken neck. He went to the Olympics with a broken neck, and I'm afraid that may have reoccurred. And Austin is a sick, no good son of a dirty.
You know, if you want a job in the Alliance, I can put in a good word for you with Steph and Shane because, and with Stone Cold, because it looks to me like you're running out of WWE superstars.
I wouldn't.
It's being carried off.
I'll get out of the business and go back to Oklahoma and go to a football game. The bottom line here is Austin is paranoid. He is sick. He didn't give Angle any warning. He threw him off that stage. He's a sick human being, and he's running scared. He stole the man's medals. Hey, look, if the roles are reversed, Austin would have thrown Angle over the bridge. And Kurt Angle didn't throw Austin.
You tell me that Kurt Angle would have thrown Stone Cold off that bridge?
Right,
what, are you out of your mind?
No, I'm not.
Let me tell you something. Kurt Angle would have thrown Stone Cold off that bridge. Stone Cold
had
dealt
a kiddie pool.
Oh, please, get a kiddie pool to fall back into. He was going to throw Stone Cold off the bridge. Steve Austin is alive today because of his great self-defense.
That's a bunch
of
crap.
You ought to have more respect.
Why not less for you? And I'll tell you this, on the Unforgiven, Austin's going to get his ass bit. He's going to get his ass bit in Pittsburgh.
By who?
And he knows
by Kurt Angle?
Kurt Angle.
By Kurt Angle?
Get out of your mind.
Get
my ass.
You want to talk about commentating? First of all, eat your heart out, Michael Cole, JBL, and Baron Saxton. I mean that is intense, to say the least. The action was intense, but then Heyman was just such an ass as a commentator. He just really was. And then obviously you have JR, the best of all time, in my opinion. And those two going back and forth with each other. A lot of people forget that Paul Heyman was the commentator when Jerry the King Lawler walked out because his wife, the Cat, she had her contract expired and he left with her and they needed to fill it. And, you know, Paul Heyman jumped in. And boy, that time during the Alliance, Paul Heyman, JR, little tag team there was actually really, really good broadcasting. It was exciting. It made things exciting. And it didn't really matter what the action was on your screen. Those two could really portray it because the beef between those two was exciting alone.
They really were. And thanks for playing that clip because I forgot how great dialogue and the great chemistry those two had. And again, I mean, who, other than Jim Ross, who would you trust would run your company in terms of on mic, backstage talent? It would have to be Paul Heyman.
Well, he does do a lot of that. In fact, for years, he wrote SmackDown for
right,
a long
I don't think
time.
He does it, I don't think he does it as much as
no,
anymore.
No,
but
not
back
not,
then.
No. Yeah, he was an integral factor in a lot of that. And back when SmackDown, before SmackDown started to suck, he was the writer for a lot of that. And he's always been a very big factor within the company. Is we're catching up here on Raw. I have it on mute here. I'm going to put it up a little bit. Stephanie looks to be putting a coat on, greeting somebody. I believe it's her daddy coming in here. But for me, let's see who gets out of the car here. Nope, it's Triple H. For me, top five moments probably would be a lot of the Lesnar things that he's doing now, probably at number five, just because it's so recent, it's so new. The one night stand, I have it. The clip's kind of long. We'll play it right at the end of the segment, but it's his whole little shoot promo from the one night stand. He calls out Edge, calls out JBL, calls out them. I also like a lot of his, like I said, his commentating. I like actually the first night. I don't have the clip with me, but the first night that he exposes the fact that the Alliance is there and that he's part of it after being one of the guys, you know, for a while. And then he says, oh, well, hey, I'm part of the Alliance. And he basically screwed over the WWF. I like that. As there's Roman attacking Triple H now, for whatever reason, Roman Reigns, they opened up the gate, Triple H, for him to leave. And just like last week, bloodying up Triple H, Roman's going at him again. This is good. I know we're getting off topic a little bit, but this is what they need because Roman's been a little bit of a declining factor for a while, and now the fact that he's attacked Triple H and blooded him up 2 weeks in a row, it's sort of giving Roman that heel twist that he needs, as now Triple H jumps in the car and drives away. So Roman 2 weeks in a row going after the CEO of the company, so that's good. All right, now it's on commercial break.
Two beat down to one now for Roman, so I guess they're pretty much gonna just
well, you know, Roman's winning the belt. You know Roman's winning
the
belt.
I hope not.
I I mean, I hope not too, but he's going to win the belt. They can't have the COO, the guy who runs the business. The way that they're billing this right now, you got to think that he's going to take the belt. And maybe because of his aggressive nature the past couple of weeks here on Raw, he might be making a heel turn.
You know what? That could play in well to the theory that this guy at the sitting next to me just shot at me about an hour ago. I got to give him a shout out, Craig from Delaware. He pretty much told me that he believes, and I kind of starting to agree with him. He thinks Cena's going to make an appearance at WrestleMania and screw the Undertaker to give Shane full control over Monday Night Raw. Because I don't know if you remember, before Cena got hurt and the whole feud with Seth Rollins, he was just so disgusted with authority and all of that. So this could be a way for them to like push the, well, Cena is not that squeaky clean image that we all thought he was, and then we could build Cena versus Taker, which was originally on the table before Cena got hurt for Mania. So they could probably push that for next year's Mania, kind of like how The Rock helped The Miz win that year a couple of years ago to retain his belt, and then set up Cena versus The Rock the following year. So I'm keeping an eye on that. But
as much as I love The Undertaker, I don't really want to see him again after this year, though. I mean, the dude's – I mean, you look at him now, he doesn't even look like The Undertaker. He's melting off of his frame now. I mean, the dude is getting old.
But if you're going to make him lose, it has to be a major screw job, a major angle that no one's going to come in. That's the only way you can make him lose. If not,
oh, yeah.
Then what's the
you
whole,
have to. You can't have him
point.
Drop two manias in a row. You can't. He won't do that. Well, he will. He might do that because he's good at putting people over, but I don't think anyone would want to see that. Where exactly in the arena are you where it's so quiet? I heard a little bit of a fan reaction thing there, but...
Funny enough, I'm outside the concessions. I was looking for some Bootio cereal. The New Day cereal completely sold out. The only thing they got left here in concessions is Money in the Bank briefcase, which I think Kevin Owens is going to win that in July, but that's for another day. Other than that, I'm just out here enjoying some crab fries. First time having it, first time really hanging out in Philly, hit the Rocky statue, hit Geno's, and now I'm enjoying Raw.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of your shots at the city beforehand, and Geno's, I personally love Geno's cheesesteaks. Patch is good, too. That whole little South Philly downtown down there is awesome.
I love it.
If you get a chance to have some Utz potato chips, too, they're probably the best in the market. The Utz Factory is right down there in South Philly as well.
All right.
A little trivia for you, and I'll post a picture that you sent me earlier of where you were in South Philly. Right there behind Geno's, if you were standing in line at Geno's, and you let's see, you're standing in line, if I can remember correctly, you're standing in line to get your cheesecake, or your cheesesteak, rather, and you turn around and you look, and there's that basketball court right behind you that's all fenced in. That's actually the basketball court where they filmed the opening scene for Prince of Bel-Air. He's like, hey, what's put out and he's out there and he's got the, you know, they're playing ball. That's the court that they filmed that on in South Philly. Cause Will Smith's from Philly. I'm sure everybody knows that, but if they don't, there you go. A little spoiler alert. Kind of taking you away from the action a little bit though.
No, please. Like I told you, I really believe they shot their load early in this program where you had a great match between AJ and Kevin Owens. You had a nice little promo with Stephanie. For finally, she didn't get to smack somebody. Good job blocking that Roman Reigns. And what else we had? We had New Day shoot their load. So what's going to happen at Mania? Are we going to get, like, the whole League of Nations versus the whole New Day? Or is this going to be two? Everybody's going to pick their two?
Well, surprisingly, that New Day League of Nations match was actually a pretty good match. With the kickouts and all the different action and the bodies going everywhere. That actually was a very old-school style, Attitude Era-type style match back in the day. So a lot of action. I thought it was going to be a snooze fest. It actually turned out to be pretty entertaining, so I was happy about that. The thing is here, and we're going to move on real quick. I'm going to play one more Heyman clip. 10:20 right now. I don't know what's going on Raw here. But before I do that, let me ask you, it's been a while since I've been to a live WWE event. What do they do, like, on the commercial breaks in between? Because when I heard that crowd, cheer a little bit in the background behind you, it was a commercial here on the television. What are they doing? There's Becky Lynch. What is she wearing for pants? Oh, all right. Well, there's your buddy, Sasha Banks. You like her. What exactly do they do during the breaks? Do they have fan involvement stuff, or do they show promo clips? What do they do?
Well, pretty much they show promo clips. The arena goes a little dark. They turn on the lights a little bit. and they'll have the guys working on the ring, because they definitely work on the ring in between matches, just in case anybody didn't know that. They always adjusting the ring, always making sure the mats and the ropes are all tight and secured. And also, you'll get, like you said, you'll get a promo, you get a commercial, and they'll cue back on the music right when the lights go back on. That's when we pretty much know it's live. So they'll cue the music back on, like Fandango, for instance. He came out early, then it went to commercial. While it was a commercial, they showed a couple of ads, Total Divas, a couple of WWE movies that no one watches other than a fifth grader. And then they'll put back on Fandango's music, and then we'll have Jericho come out and stuff like that. So there's always interworking, even behind the commercial break. There's always something going on. There's always some advertisement to push. It's a machine.
Do you like
a WWE machine?
Do you like Sasha Banks with pink hair?
I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling the pink.
You're not feeling the pink?
I'm not feeling the pink.
I mean, I think it goes well with her skin tone and complexion. Becky Lynch, obviously, going a little bit too, you know, wannabe Irish. I mean, obviously, Irish girls do have red hair, a lot of them, but that's a little bit,
right.
You can tell, you know, she needs her roots done a little bit there. As I'm looking at this photo, you can tell the black roots with the bright orange hair. But either way, that's going to be an interesting match, too, to see if Charlotte loses her belt. It's a triple threat match now between Banks and them. The way that they've been... See, to me, I don't know if they're going to take the underdog angle and give it to Becky Lynch, or if they, the way that they've been pushing Sasha, it's going to be Sasha, Natalia out there right now. I can hear it. I can hear the announcing. It's so funny to watch at the same time to hear the announcing as it's happening on my television. That's awesome.
I think
real quick,
hear the Sasha. Go ahead.
You think so? Okay. Well, I was going to say real quick.
Hear the Sasha.
We've got a little bit of this. I'm just going to go into the last Paul Heyman thing here. I'm going to talk a little bit about Dean Ambrose, and then we have a very special commercial from a WCW legend who was kind enough to promote on our show here. So give me 1 second. We're going to play these clips, transition into some Dean Ambrose, and then go into that. Hang on 1 sec.
Like Brock Lesnar, and I am here tonight as the representative for Brock Lesnar. The conqueror himself, my client, Brock Lesnar! Just suffered from Brock Lesnar. I am confident.
Brock Lesnar.
Huh? You want to see your husband fight Brock Lesnar? You got it! It's on!
You can't beat Brock Lesnar.
Best friend in the world, Brock Lesnar. I got two words for you. Brock Lesnar!
Well, that right there is the highest form of blackmail. Triple H will get it.
So we'll get to the one night stand here in a minute. We are kind of getting down. I didn't realize we're already an hour into the half hour of the program. That's, time flies, I guess, when you're having fun. Right now, for those of you who are listening to our show and may not be watching, Charlotte is facing Natalia. Very athletic match. Two athletic ladies out there. Charlotte, obviously, the champion. And wow, I don't know what exactly that move is called, but that's actually pretty interesting. We're talking a little bit here about the WWE and how they went PG, and how a lot of people who grew up on wrestling like we have don't necessarily like the whole PG thing. Dean Ambrose has sort of been the face of extreme for this company the past, six, seven, 8 months to a year. He's been the guy who's really kind of been the Attitude Era plant, basically. And even him being extreme isn't as extreme as I would like, based on what I grew up on. But do you feel that WWE is going to ramp this up, or is the Dean Ambrose, the extreme Dean Ambrose we've seen, as extreme as we're going to get?
I think we're going to get a little bit more, but before I get into that, it's funny we talk about the PG. As I'm here standing over here, as I'm over here in concessions, I'm literally watching kids with their parents leave the arena. I guess it's a little past, bedtime. So that there goes the PG theory for you right there. Too many kids, so they're not going to really upscale it too much. But I do think they're going to push the envelope. Brock's a UFC fighter. They'll let him go at it. Dean Ambrose, he takes it for the team. He'll push the envelope. He'll do what he got to do. We'll expect to see some blood. I don't think we're going to see Brock take the bloody beating. It's definitely going to be Dean. And we'll see how over he gets. we'll see how over Dean gets after that. I hope he gets extremely over, and after his encounter with Brock, he's in the title picture because he's definitely been the workhorse ever since Seth Rollins went down. I definitely think Dean Ambrose has been a workhorse over his former Shield, Roman Reigns.
Again, Jason Cordonnier calling in live from Philadelphia, live at Royal War tonight here on March 21st. Now, are those kids being dragged out of there kicking and screaming, or are they just okay with leaving? They've seen what they want to see.
I think they're okay with it, especially because because John Cena's not here. So, you know, you see a lot of...
If Cena was still left to come, they probably would want to see him, yeah.
Yeah. But then, like, I also think it goes to my theory, what I said earlier. I think they really shot their load with the first hour, because that was a really solid hour. And then with the 9 o'clock hour...
Surprisingly, in the
past
couple weeks.
So I think they shot the load early. We're watching the rest of this now, and I don't expect too much. We just saw Triple H, and I'm pretty sure we're not going to see him again tonight, so there you go.
No, he took off pretty quick. He had a case of the limber tail there when he got attacked by Roman Reigns. Now, are there TVs out where you're at, or can you see the action going on? Wait, is Natalya going to beat Charlotte here? No, Charlotte kicked out. I was going to say, they're not going to have the Divas champion lose right before WrestleMania. I mean, that can't...
No way.
That can't be the case. Now, is the Extreme Dean, would you be considered extreme, maybe based on the avenue that they've been going in the past couple of years? Would you consider Dean Ambrose to be, quote-unquote, extreme? Or is he just extreme, pending the circumstances of what we've gotten the past 5 years or so?
I definitely think it's the circumstances. Just think about this. Think about Stone Cold when he came out with the beer truck. I remember I was at that show
in the Pepsi Arena in Albany. I was there. I was in eighth grade, but I was there.
Now think about that. We went from that to Kurt Angle with the milk truck, mm-hmm. And now we had about a year ago. I remember I was at that Raw in Brooklyn where he came out with a Coney Island cart when he was hitting people with ketchup, mustard, hot dogs. So I think he's doing the best he can with what he's got. He's pushing the envelope as only as he can because, you know, WWE, we all know, is a traded company, so Vince doesn't have the final, you know, he can't do what he used to do in the Attitude Era, which totally sucks, but he's definitely pushing the envelope as far as he can for what he can do.
Now Charlotte's very athletic, very, I noticed she's getting twisted all around here. She ended up winning the match, but Charlotte, for being as tall as she is, very flexible, it seems like. Which is good. Now they're making Charlotte seem almost indestructible. I mean, I know that, you know, you've got the little team of Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, but I mean, is it really possible that they could take the belt off of her the way that they've been pushing her the last couple of weeks?
I don't think. I mean, if anybody could do it, it'd probably be Sasha. I don't think Becky's there yet. Becky reminds me of somebody. You know what Becky reminds me of? She reminds me of Tiffin Lee. Not because of the Irish roots, just because somebody that just loves to fight and wrestle, but uh-huh. they won't put the belt on that person just yet. So
true.
That's why I think she's at.
The crazy thing is, and it's actually funny that we transition into the NXT, but you know, these two ladies coming out of the NXT, actually all three of them coming out of the NXT. Yeah. The thing with them is, I got actually kind of annoyed, to be honest with you. When AJ held the belt for almost a year, I think maybe it was a little, yeah, it was about 300 and something days. Then Nikki Bella had it for so long. You know, they used to shift titles around so much, make it, you know, entertaining. If a superstar comes out and you're like, they're going to win. They've had the belt for that long, blah, blah, blah. There's not really that excitement there anymore in the Divas division. I think that if they take the belt off of her now, and then she goes on a quest to win it again, or maybe Paige comes out. Paige hasn't really been around too much. If Paige comes out, maybe does a screw job on her or something, and the belt gets taken. Then you can set up a Paige feud. She gets back in the title picture. That might be kind of interesting. As we go to commercial here on Raw, we're going in. What are we more excited for? NXT TakeOver or WrestleMania 32 down there in Dallas. But first, speaking of WrestleMania, next year's WrestleMania tickets that are available. It is in Orlando. We actually have a very special guest that has been giving us sort of a special access today We didn't have to do this for us, so we really, really appreciate the fact that he did. WCW legend Buff Bagwell. We're going to play a real quick commercial, take a quick break, pay some bills, come back, talk about the last half of this show here, and stay tuned because there are WrestleMania tickets available.
Hi, I'm Buff Bagwell, and I'm here today to tell you about one of the greatest contests I've ever seen. It is called the Maui Madness. This is basketball meeting paradise. This contest takes madness in March and turns it into prizes, money, and giveaways. For example, this year alone, Maui Madness gave away 2 trips to Maui, 2 trips to Vegas, box seat tickets for the Minnesota Twins, Big Papa Pump and Buff Daddy himself, Green Bay Packers, John Crockett, and San Diego Chargers Kyle Emanuel and Brock Higgins were there. We also gave away free photographs, free autographs, and everyone had a blast. Memorabilia from Peyton Manning, Joe Mauer, Adrian Peterson. We gave all kind of stuff like that away. This stuff came from no other chance but the guys we love most. Gunner and Chow Show, Q105.1. The event because of these guys was off the chart home run. Kids under 13 got in free. And we had an absolute blast giving away a $100,000 giveaway. Let me break it down for you. How really, really this thing works. 68 names are randomly drawn. And you come on stage and pick out an envelope for your pair to win the team for the NCAA tournament. If your team wins it all, you win a trip for two to Maui for 7 days, including a round-trip ticket from Fargo to Maui. This is what makes this promotion unique. If you pick the number 15 seed, UNC Asheville, which just got beat by 30 points by Villanova, you can still win if you pick Villanova, and Villanova wins it all. You still can win a trip to Maui. Losers can still win. So let's talk about what you can experience now that you've missed the big show. We're going to have the Mini Madness. This Mini Madness allows you to come meet Big Papa Pump, myself, Buff Daddy, and other stars that are going to be named. And everything still applies with free autographs, free giveaways. Except this time, the number one winner gets 2 tickets to next year's WrestleMania in Orlando, Florida. The second prize gets 2 tickets to the Final Four. And also, both finalists get picked up the night of April 4th to get delivered to Plasma Hall in a limousine, baby. Styling and profiling, limousine, I love it. Wow, that's a lot of information. So let me recap. This is the Mini Madness. That is an experience which you've got to have, but you've heard you've missed. It will take place on March 31st. Tickets for the events and all info can be found on MauiMadnessFargo.com. So go Fargo, look out, here we come. Big Papa Pump, Buff Daddy, we're coming back for Mini Madness. And remember, we'll also be coming back for the Maui Madness next March. So stay posted for all of the info. Going to Marcus Buff Bagwell on Facebook or go to MauiMadnessFargo.com. See you soon. Bust SO.
So we just heard from Buff Bagwell, WCW legend. He was an integral part, at least in the beginning of that storyline, at the Invasion. And Buff is a great guy, Big Pop Pump too, one of my favorites from WCW days. Because remember, I started WCW. My aunt, who knows Hulk Hogan personally, he was in WCW when I was in middle school, early high school. So I started watching them. Had to catch up on the Attitude Era stuff. But again, Buff Bagwell, I remember watching you when I was a kid. You gave me a lot of entertainment. And now, you're giving a lot of great things out to fans, especially ones who love sports. So thank you for that. Thank you for coming on to the show to do that promo for us. And hopefully we can talk to you pretty soon here. Calling in live every Monday, 10 o'clock to about 11:30. So, Jason, we transition here to the second half of the show, where we're talking a little bit about NXT TakeOver or WrestleMania 32, and why WrestleMania 32 might not be the granddaddy of them all. I remember they used to pump WrestleMania so heavy before. They used to make WrestleMania like it was a be-all, end-all. Would NXT get better? If NXT were to get better ratings than WrestleMania does this year, would that really kill business? Would that be rock bottom for this company if that happens?
I don't think it'll be rock bottom because I think we all have to agree that the WrestleMania card is what it is only because of so many key injuries. You know, I mean, I can't remember the last time that the company's been hit so hard. I mean, we have nothing but A-listers that are out. We have Cena, we have Rollins. I know you're not big on Cesaro, but he would help right now. Neville's hurt. Bray Wyatt is out. I mean, I can't remember a time where the roster was so thin. Well, NXT, you know, they're transitioning a lot of their guys to come on to the main roster. Like, so we have Finn Balor defending his title against Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe, a proven commodity in TNA. Him and AJ Styles have phenomenal.
Yeah,
him and AJ Styles have some phenomenal matches. They're going to headline NXT TakeOver. The tag team division, that's pretty much cut and dry over there at NXT. Not really much so much in the main roster, but I think after TakeOver, you're going to see a lot of people shift out. Bally, she's going to get the push up. I'm not sure who she's wrestling at NXT TakeOver, but me personally, like someone like SummerSlam, for example, I'm looking forward to NXT Brooklyn again more so than SummerSlam coming up, even though a lot of people's coming back. But just some of the young cats they have in their developmental league are just phenomenal athletes. They push the envelope. Triple H has the final say, so he lets them rock. He let them do what they got to do. So they're not too much like Kevin Owens, for example. He was just running rough shots all through NXT. He came to the main roster, he had to tone it down a little bit. NXT to give you the green light to do what you got to do. So, again, I'm more looking forward to Mania only because it's the granddaddy of them all. But NXT TakeOver at Dallas, it's going to be a phenomenal show.
And, you know, I didn't really get much into NXT at first. I'm a lot more into it now. I looked at it at first as, okay, well, it's like a, you know, it's like minor league baseball. You know, it's like the farm system. And I never really paid it much mind because admittedly, I didn't do my research on it, but now I'm looking at it and I'm like, you know, there's better storylines in some of the NXT battles and the creative booking in the NXT battles than on some of the main guys in this roster. I mean, right now it's 10:37, and you know, you hit on the injuries that they've had. The fact that R-Truth is fighting in a singles match against Bubba Ray Dudley, why? You know,
exactly.
I mean, it's supposed to show you why guys like that, the you know, ancient Dudleys versus a jobber and R-Truth, why they're on in the last hour of the program is baffling to me. So maybe the, you know, the injuries are sort of starting to play their part a little bit here. And maybe without guys like Cena to fill this hour in one of his U.S. Open challenges or something, you know, and again, they just had R-Truth get beat. Of course, he always gets beat. But I mean, what, like, why? What match that has no, came out of the blue, it has no build-up, there's no rivalry, there's no storyline, it's just now the Dudleys are beating on R-Truth for what reason? So, to me, I used to enjoy, oh, well, here comes Goldust, okay, another ancient guy. To me, it's kind of like, why? You know, who cares about the Dudleys versus Goldust and R-Truth? So I think the injuries, like you said, do play a little bit of a part here. And you know, I kind of miss the fact, but like if these two guys go to a table right now, okay, it'll be fine. But if it's just a beat, oh, and here come the Usos. All right. I mean, there's some chaos. I like chaos, but it's not the kind of chaos we're used to seeing back in the Attitude Era that we grew up on.
Not at all. Not at all.
So again,
I think the best case for what they got to do with the roster is, like, for example, Kevin Owens. Like, you bring Kevin Owens up, but I think it's good that he's going to get a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. I like how he hashtag KO-mania like that, but I'd rather him get a one-on-one match than we get piled with, like, a fatal four-way that will make no sense when we know that those other guys, competitors, could have been in another match. So maybe
and
we're going to get
the
more matches.
Well, here comes the two little mini Roman Reigns here, the Usos. And it looks like they're bringing the table into the ring now. And it's one of those things where, okay, they might actually be able to save this. If he goes to a table, if one of the Dudleys goes to a table here, might actually be able to save this little what I initially thought would have been a waste of time. Now, that table looks different. That's like polished mahogany. I mean, look at that. That's a beautiful-looking table. It's got the black bottom on, and it looks like it's really finished. How much you want to bet it doesn't break? I've seen that. They jump off the rope, but it doesn't break. It just kind of folds. See what happens here. But the Usos kind of taking it to them a little bit. WrestleMania is going to be a big card. It's always a big card. Dallas is a huge stadium down there in AT&T Stadium. Yeah. So it's going to be, yep, here comes Bubba Ray to save them. Save the day. No one's going through a table. So a wasted segment, in my opinion. So let me ask you then, this sort of plays into what you were talking about with the injuries. With Neville, Bray Wyatt added now, the most recent to this injury list. Maybe WWE needs to examine this problem a little bit. Maybe possible downtime or an off season. We brought this up a little bit in the pre-production meeting. Do they maybe need to make it seasonal, such as episodes or seasons, like, you know, shows like Breaking Bad and, you know, Mad Men and shows that have become so popular have seasons. They have their season, they have their thing, and then they have an off season, and then guys can recuperate, can get healthy, can do whatever. Then it'll come back on in the spring, and then, you know, they'll have a 6-month run or however long, a couple months run, then have another off season, quote unquote. Let the guys recuperate, let them get healthy, let them do what they got to do, come back in the spring or the fall or whenever, you know. Do you think that might be something, or do you think that the current system that they've run since their existence of year-round episodic television with pay-per-views is what they're going to continue to do or what they should do?
I think they should examine – I'm going to give an example. Like, look at tonight. Tonight, Raw's in Philly. SmackDown's taping tomorrow in Boston. Then they're going to do a house show at the Garden on Saturday. Then we got Monday Night Raw again next Monday in Barclays. And then another SmackDown taping, and then it's WrestleMania week. So look at someone like Neville. Neville, the house shows is where a lot of people get injured. Like even Seth Rollins, he got injured at a house show during a routine move, but had he had time to recuperate or rest up from his previous match the last two nights. Especially that Monday and Tuesday, you know, a lot of folks don't know SmackDown is taped on Tuesday. So the wrestling back-to-back, that doesn't help a lot. I think what they should do is have like rotating time off. Like you get 1 month off, fully recuperate, come back the month later, and then someone else gets that month off, fully recuperate, and so on and so on. Because to have Cena and Orton, your two cornerstone guys for the last 10 years, both out at the same time, it's not a good look. And then you have your up and coming guys like Seth Rollins out at the same time as well. You know, you got a question. What's going on?
Ed, you know, I like drama. If I'm on television, and with the storylines and everything, I think that they should sort of go back to some real life heat. I mean, obviously they did the real life the thing with what was it called? Lana and Bruce getting married. That was a real
right
thing. They had that be a real life whatever. That's cool. That's really happening in real life. But there's been some real life beefs that have actually made things pretty entertaining. Real quick, I'm just going to play the Paul Heyman clip from ECW, the shoot that he did off the cuff completely in 2005, talking about some of the real life beefs and the real life things that he exposed that really actually made for good television and really kind of made for good, you know, what would be episodic things. Like for instance, if this were the season finale, okay, it would keep people sort of questioning, huh, what's going to happen when they come back on in the fall or in the spring or in the winter, whenever the next season starts back up. What's going to happen with this if they take time off? But nothing ever materialized out of it, obviously. But here's Paul Heyman real quick. Again, Jason is calling us live from Philly and Raw. You can hear me as well as Dustin, who will be joining us in a few minutes on Overtime.News. Satellite Sunday is the sports and pop culture show that we have. Obviously, me being radio personality, I'm the host of that. My show, you can also hear it streamed live, 145 The Team. We've got a whole bunch of stuff going on, but here is Paul Heyman checking out and sort of exposing some beef that Edge had and John Bradshaw Layfield had back in 05.
And I was going to take the high road and just say thank you and leave.
Don't take the high road, Paul.
But I have something to say to you! You see, I've waited this to you, Eric Bischoff. But in case you don't notice, it's not Paul Heyman with his tail between his legs going to a WCW pay-per-view. Hide your wives, it's Edge!
Nobody hears Mary.
No, Edge! I know nobody with a written promo has the balls to say this to you, but I have two words for you. Matt Breeden Hardy!
So that was a little bit of some real-life beef that was brought onto the air. And if that was like a season finale type thing, that would keep people interested. Well, what's he talking about? You know, the whole Edge thing. What's going to happen? Blah, 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 blah. You know, the whole John Bradshaw Layfield thing, which people don't realize he had a lot of words to say about ECW. That was another brilliant, brilliant job by Paul Heyman. On right now, on your airwaves, it is going to be Vince McMahon talking a little bit now. He's talking about the promo of this match, and, you know, I always hate when they end the night off with talking. It really never does anything for me personally. So unless it's an Undertaker thing and we get another Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar, how do you foresee Raw ending to tonight, Jason?
I pretty much think we're going to get probably Dean Ambrose beating up Braun Strowman. Or, I don't know, I don't think we're going to have enough time for the triple threat match. That'll probably carry over next week in Brooklyn. So I just expect Dean Ambrose to go beat somebody up, maybe hear Brock Lesnar music, and hopefully he shows up. If not, then that'll be it. Just like I told you, Vince is going to shoot his load early. He came out here to the week promo, and I guess everything's pretty much banking on the go-home show next week.
Is it me, or does Vince not have the same sort of intense talking that he used to have? I mean,
he's getting a little older.
Yeah,
I guess he's a little stressed out with injuries.
Yeah, but I mean, he came out and talked a little bit about, you know, the same thing he's been talking about. If Undertaker wins, obviously Shane McMahon is done. We're going to see him again. If or excuse me, if Fandango wins, Shane wins, he's going to take over, and him and his daughter will probably be gone forever from the business, and that same stuff that we've known. If there was some sort of action here, if there was some sort of dramatic thing that had went down, I think it would have been a little bit entertaining. But right now, to me, that's why I played the Paul Heyman thing. I knew Vince didn't have anything to say other than what he's been saying the past couple of weeks. Oh, here we go. Okay, so you called it. You called Dean Ambrose, and Dean Ambrose is out. So we're going to see Dean Ambrose, Braun Strowman here, who is really a David versus Goliath type matchup. This sort of leads me to say now, in this kind of a match, we've been talking about for weeks how they push the Wyatts in their promos, and they push the Wyatts, on Raw. They push the Wyatts they laid out Brock Lesnar several weeks ago. But they lose every pay-per-view match. So now, yeah. if you look at arguably the biggest and most intense force in the business right now, Braun Strowman, if he loses tonight to Dean Ambrose, yeah, puts Ambrose over. But what does that say about the Wyatts?
Well, they're pretty much going to be delegated towards our Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal to contend with Big Show and Kane, because I don't see much other plans he's going to have for them.
Now, who wins that Battle Royal, in your opinion?
I would like to see Braun Strowman win. It really wouldn't do anything for Big Show to win. It wouldn't do anything for Kane to win. Let a new giant emerge. Let someone come up on the scene.
Now, Big Show has won it before, right?
He won it last year.
Yeah.
And the year before that was Cesaro. It did nothing for Cesaro. It did nothing for Big Show. Might as well get rid of somebody new. See what they can do with it.
So is this winning the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, is this really that big of a deal? Is it that big of an accomplishment? Or is it something that maybe they should just take off the card completely?
Well, I mean, the card's already thin. I say let them go at it. I would rather replace it with Money in the Bank, but they turn Money in the Bank into its own pay-per-view, so.
Yeah, that's true. But, they could have something interesting, like, what happened today, and this is sort of, I guess, a positive thing for WWE. I know today's a lot of negativity. This could be a positive thing for history, but you remember back in the day when they used to have, on panties matches, they used to have, girls wrestle each other in a big bowl of pudding and Jell-O and all that stuff? That was entertaining, at least from a male perspective. Now the girls can actually fight, but there's only three of them that are that are out there. So then that gets monotonous and boring. So do you think maybe we might see somebody like Bayley come over from the NXT?
I think Bayley will be up by maybe the night after Mania, no later than June. Bayley will come up. Finn Balor. Who else female that they could bring up? That's it, because the other women that's in NXT now are pretty much new. Nia Jax, another Samoan. We have an Asian lady that just came up. So, yeah, definitely she'll be the only one coming up. It won't be like last year when we got three NXT women coming up at the same time. You'll probably just get one, which would be good, because then you still have the Bellas, you still have Natalya, you still have Alicia Fox. So the female division is rounding up.
So I guess another thing I was going to ask here regarding this is, for WrestleMania, the highlight moment, I know what they've been pushing. They've actually sort of made the Undertaker Hell in the Cell thing with Shane a bigger thing than the world title match, which is, the world title match used to be the thing at WrestleMania. What do you feel is really going to be the highlight of Mania? I mean, do you even really care about the Triple H Roman Reigns match as much as you do this Shane match with the way that they've pushed it? Or is that one of those things where, they're both going to be solid, but that's pretty much it? Or is there maybe a mid-card match you're interested in seeing that the listeners should tune into when they watch the show?
I think AJ Styles and Chris Jericho are going to have a hell of a match. I think if Kevin Owens fights Sami Zayn, that's going to be a potential steal the show caliber match. And I'm really looking forward to this Brock and Dean. I think people are going to see how great Dean is in the ring, or how he sells a beating. Kind of like how CM Punk sold a beating against Brock, but I think Dean's going to take it to a whole nother level. But those are my three matches that I think are candidates to steal the show. I don't know what we're going to get out of Shane. If it was Shane from 6 years ago, I would have been a little bit more excited for it. So I'm not going to put that match on top on my, you know, steal the show candidate. I think Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens possibly could be a great match. I'm talking about Intercontinental Steamboat Savage caliber match. I'm telling you, I have that much faith in that match.
Now, for me, I'm looking at the card here, and I'm enjoying the whole Brock Lesnar thing with Paul Heyman. I'm a big Paul Heyman fan, big Paul Heyman advocate. I'm actually the most excited about the match, like you said, about the Dean Ambrose match, about the street fight. I just get goosebumps every time I see Brock Lesnar, the way that they sell him. And speak of the devil, there's Paul Heyman. He's on right now. Eat, sleep, conquer, repeat. There it is. So Paul Heyman, who has been really the focal point of this show here today, is at the commentating booth right now. Obviously, coming out to face Dean Ambrose here is going to be Braun Strowman. Does this match make much sense to you? I mean, there's not really very many other people that they can have here face him. Like you said, the roster is so thin, but, I mean, Dean winning sort of against the strongest member of the Wyatts, it makes the Wyatts sort of puts them under a little bit, but obviously Dean losing 15 days before WrestleMania doesn't look too good for him. The only thing I can see here with Paul Heyman to the announce table, the only thing I can see would be the Brock Lesnar interference. That'd be the only thing that I could really see here going on. Jason, I do have a little bit of background noise here. I know you're at the arena, so real quick, I am going to mute that real quick just until the entrance stops and the people stop cheering here. The Fireflies are out in Philadelphia right now. If you're watching Raw, everyone's got their phone light on and everything. And we're back here. Let's see. Oh, there's the noise is gone now. So basically, Jason, are you going to buy into the Buff Bagwell contest? Are you going to look into that a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm going to look into that. I mean, I feel terrible knowing that my bracket this year is all jacked up. I believe two of my final four are out of it. The team that I had winning the whole thing has been eliminated the first night, which is God awful. Michigan State. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I had them winning the whole thing. Although I'm a Syracuse fan, so I'm actually kind of happy that it is Michigan State. And they had that methodical beatdown of Middle Tennessee a few nights ago. But there's two things that could happen at WrestleMania. One of them could be this. They could knock it out of the park, or you could have the end of the show sound like this. Which, unfortunately, I think is what's going to happen if Roman Reigns wins the belt. And so I know we addressed this a little bit last week, but do you think that them forcing Roman Reigns down our throat is really bad for business at this point? Or do you think that he is salvageable and that maybe Roman Reigns could somehow win the fans' affection here?
I think it's salvageable. I think if he, you know, has a great performance in Mania and he improves on his mic, if anything he's showing us, he's showing how reliable he is, which is always a good
True.
Thing. Availability is always a good thing. So I'll give him that. Because last year, you know, they had to switch up the card at the last moment and gave Rollins cash in because folks, you know, we didn't want him. Now we have no choice. But again, he's available. He just needs to brush up on some skills, maybe debut a new finisher at Mania. That would help. But like you said, they're kind of booking him okay right now. They're booking him as an aggressive monster, just coming out after Triple H, beating him up in parking lots, beating him up at backstages, beating him up around the ring. So there's still ways to salvage him. Save him now so we know come SummerSlam when Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins are infused into the main event picture again, then they could help carry him.
Well, we know that, you know, right now he's not what he needs to be. He's not on Stone Cold level. He's not on The Rock level. you know, superstars, icons like that. He was okay on the mic today, though, with his work with Stephanie. He did better than I had anticipated him to do as Dean Ambrose gets thrown around a little bit by Braun Strowman. But with Paul Heyman sitting at commentary, you've got to think we're going to see a Brock Lesnar appearance tonight. Because remember, Brock Lesnar has beef with the Wyatts, too. They're the ones who laid him out. They're the ones who eliminated him at the Royal Rumble, and they laid him out on Raw. And he's got that match coming up WrestleMania with Dean. So it would only make sense to have Brock come out right now.
True.
And, you know,
They haven't given any indication that he's even around, which is good.
True. But to me, it's going to be sort of a weak main event, in my opinion, in my estimation, if Roman Reigns does win the belt with the current announcing staff. I know, like I said, it's been kind of a negative show, but, you know, I'm listening to Paul Heyman right now. I got one headphone on and one headphone listening to my television. Paul Heyman is carrying this broadcast. He's only been on for about three and a half minutes.
That's one thing I hate about going to live events, that you don't get the broadcast, so you don't know what he's saying. I'll have to check that out when I get home.
It's all right. I mean, he's carrying the broadcast right now. He's making it entertaining. But one thing is for damn sure, we're not going to get this.
What the hell is this? What the hell is this?
It's a new champion!
Stop, Joe Freddy! Son of a man!
And new World Wrestling Federation champion, Stone Cold Steve Austin!
What the hell is this? Austin, face to face with McMahon!
I mean, what a way to end a pay-per-view, right? I mean, if you're sitting home watching, first of all, you're stunned about the heel turn as it is, but then you're like, good Lord, I mean, how's JR not going to give himself a heart attack? So I would have enjoyed that. I don't care if that would have been Link to the Clown versus freaking Dusty Rhodes in his baby outfit from back in the day. That, just listening to that would have given me goosebumps. It still does, just playing the clip.
You know, they always say you don't value a good thing until it's gone. Man, do I miss Jim Ross. I mean, I know he's already in the Hall of Fame, but damn it, they need to give him a two-time Hall of Fame. They gave Flair two times. Let Jim Ross be a two-time Hall of Famer. Give him his own, build him a statue, something outside the Orlando, the facilities in Orlando.
Oh, man,
do something.
Come
guy,
back.
They should have brought him back. I don't know why they didn't.
Well, I pitched last week. Why not bring him back for WrestleManias to call, you know, the action of WrestleMania? Bring him back maybe one or two Raws a year, okay? But let him do WrestleMania. Just have him and the King do WrestleMania just like the old
days.
Match?
Which match? Though? They're only going to do one match. You want the whole?
Have him and the King do the whole show of WrestleMania. I think that would increase ratings. I mean, I think people who haven't watched wrestling in years would tune in just to hear JR because they loved him so much when they were growing up. And you know, the King and the dynamic and the chemistry that they had, you know, made it. I know the clip I just played with him and Paul Heyman, but that would be huge, huge, huge for them as well. And Buff Bagwell, if you do end up listening to this show, buddy, I'm looking at some of your pictures. I want one of those top hats that says Buff on it. I would wear that around on a daily basis. So if we're able to get our hands on one, that'd be amazing as well.
Oh, man. Didn't Buff have such a... He had a great intro in WCW as well. His intro was pretty on point.
I don't have the clip. Our interns are slacking. I don't have the clip, but I want it. Yeah, he was an entertaining figure for sure, and was definitely one of those guys in WCW that made it interesting. Of course, WCW back in the day had a lot of talent, too. Goldberg, NWO.
Goldberg,
Sting. Diamond Dallas Page was awesome. He was one of the main guys. Booker T, Harlem Heat. They had some good talent in WCW as well. here as we've got 25 minutes left to go here. Maybe a little less. Who knows? We'll see what happens. Raw is running a little bit over time again. Dean Ambrose bleeding from the mouth here. Dustin might be making an appearance. And now some words being shared between Paul Heyman here and Dean Ambrose. And to me, this is interesting because show is going off the air with Dean and Paul Heyman sort of staring at each other a little bit. And, you know, this is obviously, to me, as I just said, the number one match, in my opinion, at WrestleMania, as these two sort of look at each other. And the Wyatts lose again, of course, so that, you know, sort of brings them down a little bit. Let's see here. Is that it? Oh, yeah, the little logo just came up in the on the end there. So that's going to do it for Raw. Now, what do they do? We got a half hour left. Are you going to be sort of walking back home? Or are you going to be walking back to the hotel? Or what's the deal? Like, what do they do after Raw? Is there anything else that happens after the show goes off the air that maybe fans would want to know about?
Well, pretty much I'm going to get up out of here, take a nice little drive back to Brooklyn. It's about a two-hour drive. Right now they got a dark match, which is going to be Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose versus the other two members of the Wyatts.
Now, that's a better dark match than what was anything that was on the actual broadcast. They should show that match. Was there a good
why,
dark
match? That's why you hear Roman's music in the background. That could have been a better main event, if anything.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Was there a dark match in the beginning of the night as well, or no?
No, the beginning pretty much was a superstar taping. They do the superstar taping right before, so pretty much right before Raw went on, we had the Lucha Dragons versus Ascension, another wasted tag team. Okay. I put them there with the League of Nations as a waste of a faction.
Which ones? Which ones? The Ascensions or the Lucha?
Ascensions, yeah, Ascension.
I hear you. I mean, what I really wanted to hear tonight, I knew I wouldn't, but what I really wanted to hear tonight, I wanted to hear the Undertaker's gong music come out because he just gives me goosebumps. I know that he's probably not, you know, they're holding them off for the go-home show next week, but boy, oh boy, I wanted to hear that. And, you know, another guy that I'm hearing whispers, may be back. I don't know when it would be. I don't think it would be WrestleMania, but I'm hearing some whispers from my sources. We're back here. I'm not sure if we lost Jason or not. He was at the live show, and then all of a sudden it went quiet. So don't know if he lost cell reception or what had happened. There may have been some small technical difficulties. So if you can hear me now, great. If you can't, I do apologize. So we got about 18 minutes left in the show here. Dustin's going to be calling in a minute here to sort of go over some of the topics that we had talked about previously on the show. For those of you who had missed, we were talking about the Paul Heyman favorite memories and moments from Paul Heyman, the ECW, the Invasion, being Brock Lesnar's manager. Talked a little bit about if we like the extreme version of Dean Ambrose. And we had a very special thing from Buff Bagwell that we had played, a very special promo that he has been running that he was kind enough to come onto the show and do for us. So we're going to go ahead and play that again here in a minute, just so that you all could get the information from that in case you missed it. So here it is.
Hi, I'm Buff Bagwell, and I'm here today to tell you about one of the greatest contests I've ever seen. It is called the Maui Madness. This is basketball meeting paradise. This contest takes madness in March and turns it into prizes, money, and giveaways. For example, this year alone, Maui Madness gave away two trips to Maui, two trips to Vegas, box seat tickets for the Minnesota Twins, Big Papa Pump and Buff Daddy himself, Green Bay Packers, John Crockett, and San Diego Chargers Kyle Emanuel and Brock Higgins were there. We also gave away free photographs, free autographs, and everyone had a blast. Memorabilia from Peyton Manning, Joe Mauer, Adrian Peterson. We gave all kind of stuff that got away. This stuff came from no other chance but the guys we love most, Gunner and Chow Show, Q105.1. The event because of these guys was off the chart home run. Kids under 13 got in free, and we had an absolute blast giving away a $100,000 giveaway. Let me break it down for you how really, really this thing works. 68 names are randomly drawn, and you come on stage and pick out an envelope for your pair to win the team for the NCAA tournament. If your team wins it all, you win a trip for two to Maui for 7 days, including a round-trip ticket from Fargo to Maui. This is what makes this promotion unique. If you pick the number 15 seed, UNC Asheville, which just got beat by 30 points by Villanova, you can still win if you pick Villanova, and Villanova wins it all. You still can win a trip to Maui. Losers can still win. So let's talk about what you can experience now that you've missed the big show. We're going to have the Mini Madness. This Mini Madness allows you to come meet Big Papa Pump, myself, Buff Daddy, and other stars that are going to be named. And everything still applies with free autographs, free giveaways. Except this time, the number one winner gets two tickets to next year's WrestleMania in Orlando, Florida. The second prize gets two tickets to the Final Four. And also, both finalists get picked up the night of April 4th to get delivered to Plasma Hall in a limousine, baby. Styling and profiling, limousine, I love it. Wow, that's a lot of information. So let me recap. This is the Mini Madness. That is an experience which you've got to have, but you've heard you've missed. It will take place on March 31st. Tickets for the events and all info can be found on MauiMadnessFargo.com. So go, Fargo, look out, here we come. Big Papa Pump, Buff Daddy, we're coming back for Mini Madness. And remember, we'll also be coming back for the Maui Madness next March. So stay posted for all of the info. Going to Marcus Buff Bagwell on Facebook or go to MauiMadnessFargo.com. See you soon. Bust.
That's Maui Madness by Buff Bagwell, Big Papa Pump. We played that a little bit earlier in the broadcast, and it's such a great thing that they're doing right now. We really enjoy that. Jason, unfortunately, had to run. The show was over a little bit. He lost some cell reception. Again, Jason was calling live from Philadelphia, from Raw is War. I guess he is going to be driving back to Brooklyn tonight. I wasn't sure. I thought maybe he was getting a hotel room, going to one of them Philly bars or something. But
Good night.
door. I'm assuming that's Dustin calling in.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Not too much. So, I thought Ross sucked, to be honest with you.
Today's been a negative show, so that's right in line with everything we've been talking about.
I just don't understand, like, why. Like, what happened to the days where we could have, like, a quality Monday Night Raw, where titles changed hands, where exciting things happened? Like, where did those days go? I don't understand. I don't know where they died along the way, just like the TLC match died along the way, just like getting hit in the head died along the way. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, when will they finally be spontaneous and actually let, like, a world title change hands on Raw and actually give people a reason to show up to Raw?
Well, I think Jason made a good point with the lack of talent that they've got going on right now. I think that there's not really many people that they could give it to. Obviously,
well,
Roman,
you gonna have,
Roman
you gonna
the crowd
have
doesn't like anyway.
Hold on to it forever? I mean, that's going to get old.
Well, it's already old, honestly. I mean, I want to see somebody else have it at this point. But, you know, I don't think that they know what to do at this moment because, like you said, the crowd is not really going all in for Roman Reigns. They don't want to hear him. They don't really care about him. Dean Ambrose, I guess they don't feel is, you know, at the level where he's ready to hold the world yet. So, you know, it's one of those things where who are they going to give it to? Right now, besides Brock Lesnar, who's a part-time guy, there's nobody that's deserving of a world title on that roster. I guarantee you when Cena comes back, he's going to be thrown right back into the picture. Same thing with Seth Rollins. But until those guys get back, they're just kind of freelancing. They're grasping at straws here.
Yeah, man, I'm just disappointed because I remember some of like the coolest Raw moments for me were when that type of thing happened, when – you know, you're like, nah, there's no chance somebody, you know, anytime you saw a world title defense on Monday Night Raw, you're just like, okay, this is a joke. But then there were those random ones where, boom, all of a sudden, new champ. You're like, what? And it blew you away.
Well, there used to be a lot of them. Back in the Attitude Era, they used to defend the belt almost every Raw, it seemed like, anyway.
Yeah, well, somebody definitely. Like, I think it was every or if not every other Raw. I mean, Austin lost it. I remember one night he lost the title to Kane, came back and won it back the following Raw. So Kane was a champion for 24 hours.
Yeah, that was after the first blood match at King of the Ring,
which I think
gets overlooked by Mick Foley getting thrown off the cage in the Undertaker match. That, I think, is forever going to be famous. But people forget that the first blood match between Austin and Kane was the main event of that pay-per-view. And the next night, Austin comes back. They have the little ceremony. That's the day. Wasn't that the day? No, it was not. It was different time. But I was going to say the time when he drove the Zamboni in, but that was a different time. But, yeah, he came in, he challenged Kane, he did some things, got under his skin, got the crowd behind him, blah, 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 blah. Kane accepted, much to the chagrin of Paul Bearer and Vince McMahon. Austin came out and won the belt on Raw. Yeah, I mean, that was exciting. And the Zamboni point that I made, when they were deciding who they wanted to give the belt to, when they were having the whole ceremony, the whole thing, Austin has the Zamboni, does the whole thing, gets taken out by the cops, the crowd's going crazy. And then the whole thing where Undertaker and Kane broke McMahon's ankle. I'm not quite sure if it was kayfabe or not, but it certainly looked pretty bad. But, yeah, those were the exciting Raw moments. We can't have those kind of moments right now with the PG thing the way that it is. It just wouldn't allow for it. It's not something that is going to happen or be allowed to happen. So I think right now, with the talent that they have, they got to go to pay-per-view. They can't have those kind of things because they don't have a Rock. They don't have a Stone Cold. They don't even have a Triple – well, they have Triple H, but Triple H isn't even Triple H. The way that he was, he can't compete every single night anymore. His body's falling apart. So they just have subpar right now. It's C-plus, B-minus talent, if that. I'm being generous.
Yeah.
You know, so that's probably why. You know, obviously when you're a guy there, you're a big Seth Rollins guy. When Rollins comes back, maybe we'll see what happens. I didn't like Rollins as the champion because I think he's a whiny bitch, but that's just me.
But that just means he was doing a good job because, you know,
well, yeah.
not a lot of people liked, God, let me think. Who are some good heels? Randy Orton at the time. Not a lot of people like John Cena, and he's considered the face of the company. So it's like that just means you're doing a good job. I hate him, but my point with John Cena is now that he's gone, I don't care, which is worse, which is more dangerous than hate, okay? because it's one thing if somebody hates you. Oh, Triple H was the definition of it. You love to hate him. He was the ultimate, like, F you guy, man. Like, oh,
Triple H. I think he's one of the best heels of all time.
Exactly.
Sure.
He was that good at pissing people off. But, you know, a guy like my point is, I guess this goes with everything, right? This goes with everything. If you're trying to make yourself known in all aspects of life, this can be a useful thing to think about for years and years and years. If people are talking crap about you, good. If people are complimenting you, good. If people don't even care you exist, that's a
not
problem.
Good. Yeah, not
so
good.
My issue is, you know, Seth Rollins, Chris didn't like him. A lot of people didn't like him. A lot of people thought he was a whiny bitch. Hell, at the beginning, I thought he was a whiny bitch. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me and I realized the genius behind what he was doing. And I'm like, this is great. He's literally just trying to piss everybody off and be that very annoying guy that you can't rip the belt out of his hand. And then he comes up with unbelievable matches in the pay-per-views where it just blows you away. The athleticism he does, the moves he's able – oh, my God. He's one of the best wrestlers in ring I've ever seen, ever. And I just think personally that it hurts that Rollins is gone. It doesn't hurt that Cena's gone. I personally don't miss him. I could care less if he ever comes back. I don't think him coming back will save anything. I think Rollins coming back, and I think finally letting all the youngins get their shot at the glory, letting Rollins go one-on-one with Roman in a feud, letting Rollins go one-on-one with Ambrose in a feud, let Ambrose get the damn belt for once. I mean, Jesus, the guy's a workhorse. Give me a break. You got dipshits like Cena who've had it for 15 times and Ambrose can't even get it once. You got a guy like Diesel who's held the title and Ambrose can't get it once. Booker T has held the title. Edge has
Booker
held the title.
Booker was great. I liked Booker.
And you can't even give it to Dean once. I mean, there's a lot of garbage that has held that title, folks.
I don't think it's in the same category, but that's for a different show. We don't have time to debate that right now. But Booker was good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I personally didn't respect what he did, but that's me.
Yeah, he's different styles, different strokes for different folks, I guess. Real quick, do you feel like, I mean, he had that ACL injury. There was a whole cast of all of nonsense going on in that knee. It was ACL, MCL, a few different things, meniscus. That knee was basically toast. Do you feel like he's going to be as athletic and put on as good of matches when he comes back, or is he going to be a little bit reserved trying to favor that knee?
That's what I said I was really worried about, because I think part of the reason that he's so great is the fact that he can do that. He can out-wrestle and outperform you and make you look absolutely useless. And I personally am afraid he's going to come back and he's going to be reserved. And I think rightfully so. God, I just don't know. I don't know what to do. As a fan, you absolutely don't want him to hold back. You want him to go and jump right back into it. But, I mean, look at a guy like Jeff Hardy, who jumping off of 20-foot ladders onto tables, going through this, going through that. I mean, he only lasted so long. And
I don't think Jeff Hardy can spell Jeff Hardy right now. He's had so many head injuries. So,
right.
Yeah,
well, it's
I don't
not
know.
Even just head. It's back. It's body. Yeah. The kid, he's addicted to painkillers because he's in pain so much. It's not the fact that, yeah, he can still wrestle. Yeah, but, I mean, if you were to ask him, don't take any pain medicine and see how long he lasts in the industry, he'd look like Sting right now. And it's too bad because he really fucked himself up for the business. And it looks like WWE/WWF gave him the middle finger on his way out the door, and that's too bad.
They definitely did. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about – we got 5 minutes left to go. Actually, about 4 minutes left to go here on Over the Ropes, Off the Ropes, Over the Ropes.
Off the Ropes.
The whole,
it's your show. Learn the name,
no.
You idiot.
Well, no, I was I was coming up on – I was reading something here that said over thrown over the ropes, and that's what caught me up here. 4 minutes left to go on Off the Ropes. This – I was going to say going over the ropes has seeming to be something that they're making a big deal. Do you think that this Andre the Giant Battle Royal is anything of a big deal? I mean, the first, you know, going over the ropes and this whole Battle Royal thing that they're doing, do you think that's a good idea, or does it not really matter?
No, this is the WWE grasping at straws. The Royal Rumble is one of the most exciting events of the year. If not, it's like 1B to WrestleMania. So you got WrestleMania 1A, and 1B is the Royal Rumble. Nobody gives a shit about any of the other pay-per-views. Nobody cares about the new crappy name ones that they're coming up with. Stick with the
Fastlane and Roadblock.
Yeah, stick with the damn 12 originals. They did 12 pay-per-views back in the day. Stick with the original names. What the fuck is with this new shit? Like, bring back No Mercy. Bring back
Unforgiven.
Backlash.
Well,
like, Unforgiven. Like, what
Armageddon.
The hell happened? Like, I don't know if they got sued or what, and they decided, like, oh, we got to come up with all kinds of new cheesy, shitty names. But fuck, man.
I don't know. All I know is that this was the March 21st edition of Off the Ropes. Buff Bagwell was nice enough to record a commercial for us. Buff, you know, we love you. We love what you did. We love everything what you're doing with the Maui Classic stuff. And Buff, if I can get one of those top hats that you got on your Wikipedia photo, if you want to send one of those to me, I can give you my address. I want that hat. I will wear it every day. I will sleep in it. That's an awesome-looking top hat. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, go on Wikipedia, type in Buff Bagwell, look at that hat. It is baller. Until next week, however, when there will only be a week left to WrestleMania, until next week, we will see you. It is Off the Ropes. Dustin called in for the last couple moments here. Jason's going to be live at the Barclay Center calling in again next week. He can walk there, so he won't have a two-hour drive ahead of him. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you. Chris McSwiggin here, Overtime.news, along with the co-founder, my partner, Dustin Bork. We'll see you.